right, this morning we're going to take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I know it's Education Sunday. I'm not preaching about education, although I do hope you learned something here today. I'm going to talk about a lot of different things, but there's one truth in particular that God has really encouraged me with and helped me with, and I think if you got it down and you really understood it and let it let that truth sink into your heart, it would change your life. Not because I'm telling you, but because it's God's word. Amen. Now, Pastor Dammer's been preaching against sin and about sin the last few weeks in a little series on Sunday mornings. And sin is very, very, very powerful. I'm not preaching about sin, so to say, but I want to preach about something that is definitely involved in sin. I'm going to preach about lust this morning. And the title of the message is Victory Over Lust. I want you to look with me in chapter 1 of James, verse number 13. We'll begin reading. The Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Father, we do thank you for your word. I'm grateful that your word has the answers to every problem we have. Lord, I know there are some in here who may think that lust is no big deal. And then there's others, more serious Christians, who realize that they have a struggle, they have a battle with this thing, and they've wanted to have a victory, but they've not seemed to have been able to find a way to be victorious. I just ask that your word would help us today, and you'd, Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide. Give us just what we need. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lust is an enemy, and that enemy dwells within. And we all know that the devil's our enemy. Thankfully, he's not in most of us. But we have a flesh that's weak, it's corrupt, and our flesh likes to sin. And the reason our flesh likes to sin is because inside of us are all these lusts, these passions, these desires. And unfortunately, in our society, lust is glamorized. People just think it's a great thing and it's acceptable. It's considered normal. And, you know, the more of it, the better. And boy, we got a messed up country because of it. We got people whose minds are messed up. We have people whose families and homes have been destroyed because of it. Now, I understand also when you mention the word lust, people automatically think of sensual or sexual sins. And that is true. It's not the only part of lust. And we'll see that as we go along. But sadly, lust enslaves people and it controls people and it controls millions and millions of people. People are just, they can't seem to stay pure in their thinking, in their actions. And in order to have victory over lust, now I understand some people don't even want to have victory. I hope by the time we get through the whole thing that some who didn't want to have victory will want to have victory. And those who want to have victory will hang on to the end and find out what God says about it and how we can have victory. But in order to have victory, we've got to see what God says about it. We got to see lust as God sees it. And I want to just give you, I got three simple points. The first one is the characteristics of lust. And the next one we'll talk about are the consequences of lust. And then the last one will be the conquest over lust. I've got lots and lots of Bible verses. You probably won't be able to turn to them all. I'll try to remember to tell you which ones to get to when we're going to be in a passage for a little bit. But I want to start first of all by saying, hey, if you want to have victory over this enemy, you got to know a little bit about the enemy. the enemy of lust. I want to describe, I want to give you some characteristics of lust. First of all, lust is selfish. Even by definition, the definition of the word lust is a longing desire. You're just longing for something. You really want something. There's another definition. It is called. It says, unlawful desire for carnal pleasure. Unlawful desire. Lust is not just a desire. It's an unlawful desire because it goes against what God says. It's wanting something that God doesn't want you to want. It's longing for carnal pleasure, wanting to feed the flesh and wanting to please yourself. That's what it's all about. If we go back to chapter 1 here, verse 14, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Look at those next three words, drawn away of the next three words, his own lust. His own lust. Every person has passions. Every person has desires. Now, not everyone's are exactly the same. You know, you think about music. My wife and I, we were driving back from Tennessee last Saturday, and we were coming up. I think we were out of Tennessee and into Kentucky. But wherever it was, I'm flipping through the radio trying to find something to listen to. And I came across Bluegrass Gospel. And I'm sorry, I just had to laugh. If you like bluegrass gospel music, I just laughed at it. It was unbelievable. You know, it has absolutely no appeal. It doesn't even appeal to my flesh. Even my sinful, corrupt flesh doesn't like it. Maybe your sinful, corrupt flesh likes it. But my sinful, corrupt flesh doesn't like it. There's nothing about it. But country music. I'm sorry, you might be a country and western fan. But when the guy gets up there, my best friend took my girlfriend, now I took his. You know, I'm just thinking, now you know why I don't sing country and western, right? But I just, what on earth? I mean, it's just, there's no appeal. But hey, I grew up, and I went to the public school. I didn't go to good churches when I grew up. Oh, there's a whole lot of rock and roll that I used to fill my mind with. And there's a whole lot of it that, you know what, I have to be honest, my flesh likes. My spirit doesn't like it. My flesh likes it. You say, well, but you're a preacher. Yeah, but that's why I don't feed my flesh, amen? But my flesh, there's certain things that appeal to my flesh. There's certain things that appeal to your flesh. And it's our own flesh because it's our desires. And when you think about lust, it's all about me, isn't it? It's all about me. Now think about David. David, he desired Bathsheba. Who was he interested in pleasing? Was he trying to help Bathsheba? Was he thinking about Bathsheba's husband, thinking, hey, I'm going to be a blessing to Bathsheba's husband? Or was he just thinking about himself? It was all about himself. And that's what lust is. It's selfish. It's just pleasing self. A young lady, some guy comes up and says, hey, let's get together and let's... No, he doesn't care one bit about you. He only cares about himself. Now, I will be back to James, but if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter number 7, I want to ask a question. Where does lust come from? Where does lust come from? Well, I think we find the answer here in Mark chapter number 7. We'll begin here in verse number 21. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus was speaking here. He said, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed, what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Look where it says, all these things come from where? from within. They come from within. It's an evil heart. That's where it comes from. All those lustful passions, those lustful desires, they come from your heart. Now, we think that because we were tempted and we sinned and we said, oh man, that temptation was so great, I just couldn't overcome that temptation. Why did you do it? Well, I was tempted. And we think that that's a good enough excuse that the temptation got us. Let me tell you something. It was not the temptation that made you sin. We'll see a little bit later as we get more into the message here. But lust doesn't come from temptation. It comes from our selfish desire for sin. And it causes us to yield to temptation. How can one person be tempted with something and another person be tempted with the same thing? One person caves in, the other person doesn't cave in. Why? Because one person, their lust wants it. The other person, either they don't want it, or they don't want it because they've gotten God's help to have victory over it. And so we got to look at this. And let me tell you, Satan knows what you like. And he'll give you what you like. He knows how to appeal to your flesh. He knows how to appeal to your lusts. On Memorial Day, I went out fishing here at the lake. I'm not a big fisherman. I haven't been fishing for a long time. But I got this little fishing reel. I went out there and I put a lure on, put a little spinner on. And I'm out there and I'm casting and I'm reeling in. And the only thing I caught was some weeds. I mean, that's all I caught. I'm thinking, man, this thing is terrible. I'm not catching anything. And it was the right time of day. I knew it was the right time of day. And I had another lure. I said, I remember back from being a kid. You know, it was like a jitterbug. And I think, oh, yeah, this is what will catch a bass. I remember that much. So I took off the spinner and I put the jitterbug on and I threw it out there. And then all of a sudden I got a hit. Wham. Didn't snag the hook yet. I said, oh, yes, this is good. And then it was just in a matter of moments, I'm reeling in this great big old bass. Oh, man, I am a fisherman now, right? And so I threw it out there again. I'm catching it. I'm pulling in another bass. Oh, yeah. And the third one, it was also a big bass. I'm like, yeah. And then it went away with my lure. I'm like, my lure. So there's a bass out there with a nice jitterbug in his mouth somewhere. I'm not real happy with him. I got another one. I'm going to try to catch my fish and get my lure back from the guy if he'll be cooperating. But the point was this. The bass had no desire. He had no interest whatsoever in the spinner. But I wanted to catch a bass. So what did I do? I used what was going to appeal to him. And he couldn't resist it. And that's how the devil works. He has a temptation that is there to appeal to you. He knows exactly what's going to appeal to you. And he knows how to get you with it. Because he knows your flesh. And the reason we fall for temptation is because we want to. Because our flesh, our lust craves certain things. Whether it's immodest women, pornography, cursing, rage, stealing. It's lust, it's passions, it's unlawful desires that we shouldn't have. And you know why people get angry? Because they want to get angry. When people explode, they just, you know why people curse? Because they actually think they'll feel better when they curse. And they just let it out. Yeah, I let them have it. You know, if someone gets so mad, they just want to go around and kick something or break something. Like, that's going to make you feel better, right? And then after you break it, he's like, that was stupid. Well, why do they do that? Because they get some, it's their desire. They have a desire to just, it's lust. It's lust. So I want you to see, first of all, we're given some characteristics of lust. First one is it's selfish. Secondly, I'm going to have to go through some of these quickly. The second one is this. Lust is sinful. Lust is sinful. The Bible says it's not of God. That's how I know it's sinful. You know, people think, well, you know, I can check this woman out here and I can look her up and down. That's all right. It's not all right. It's sin. I know our society thinks it's okay. It's sin. Because lust is sinful because God says it's sinful. And when you engage in things that are sinful, it's going to mess you up. And you're going to suffer the consequences of sin. So lust is not of God. 1 John 2:16. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read some verses. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's not from God. He doesn't like it. Not only that, but lust tempts God. In Psalm 78, verse 18, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They're actually asking God for something so they could consume it upon their lusts. Well, how bold that is. Ask God to give you something that you shouldn't have. Then we also see from Romans 7:7 that it's sin because it's covetousness, right? To covet is to break one of the Ten Commandments. And in Romans 7:7 it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, nay. I had not known sin, but by the law. And then he says, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. When you covet something, you're lusting after something. It's sin. Whether it's someone else's property, someone else's wife, someone else's whatever, you are desiring something you shouldn't have. It's an unlawful desire. God says it's sin. Then we also know it's sin because it desires evil things. You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 6, he tells us, now these things, he's going to give us a bunch of things. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So he said, don't lust after evil things. Why? Because if you go after evil things, it's bad. It's sin. It's wicked. God hates it. He's against it. And then he gives a few examples here. In verse number 7, neither be idolaters. So idolatry, lusting after something else, putting something else before God. And then it says, as it is written, the people rose, sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They were given over to pleasure. All they lived for was pleasure. Live for self. That's lust. Then it says in verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. And fell in one day 23,000. A fornication is committing sexual sin with someone you're not married to. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ. There it is again, tempting the Lord, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Even complaining is a lust. Complaining is just, I want to do something. I want to say something. I want to do something that's wrong and unlawful. So lust, it lives inside. It's a selfish thing. It's a sinful thing. It's also, lust is a sly thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Deceitful lusts. And by the way, lusts is plural. Meaning it's not just sexual sins. It's all those things that we desire that we shouldn't have, that God doesn't want us to have. But he says that they are deceitful. Lust lies to you. It tells you you're going to be satisfied when you get what you want. But you know what? Sin never satisfies. You want it, and you'll get what you wanted to have. And you're not content with it. You want more of it. And the Bible even says the eyes of man are never satisfied. You take a look at something you shouldn't look at. It doesn't please you enough. You want more and more and more. And people get further and further into sin. They get into more wicked and vile and perverted and deviated sin. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Sin is sly. It's also, if you go back to James chapter 1, if you're still there, lust is suicidal. In verse 14, it says, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word enticed means to be entrapped. So in other words, lust, your lust, leads you to a trap. So, yeah, I want that. And your lust says, I want that. There's the temptation. It's over there. And your lust says, go get it. And over there in that temptation is a trap. You will be ensnared. You will be entrapped. And your lust says, yeah, go for it, bud.
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
And you go over and you take that temptation and now you are caught in the trap. It's suicide. How many times have you done something you said, man, I shouldn't have done that. That was stupid. And you regretted what you did. Man, I messed up real bad. Yeah, we messed up real bad. Why did we mess up real bad? Because we didn't want to mess up, but we wanted what we wanted. And that's it. That's all that counts. I'm going to have what I want. I'm going to get what I want. I want to do what I want. And it doesn't matter. I'll live with the consequences. Yeah, you will. You won't be real happy. It's suicidal. Lust always leads to a trap. It promises one thing and it delivers another. When you talk about sexual sins, I mean, millions of people in this world have STDs. In a little town where I was, we had a little church. A band came to play and four girls had relations with the band members that came through. All of them contracted AIDS and died. All four of those girls. Oh, yeah. Lust. Great time. Oh, suicidal. Following your lust will bring more pain than you can ever realize. Let me tell you this, young ladies. You read romance novels. You're destroying your marriage before you're even married. And I'll tell you why. Because your fantasy world, when you get married, it's not going to match up. Reality and fantasy, and you can't even think straight when you get into the marriage relationship. Whether you fill your lust through reading, viewing something, pornography, whatever it is, participating, you're only going to hurt yourself. So lust, we're looking at the characteristics of lust. We said it was suicidal, but next, we're still in chapter 1 and verse 14. In verse 14, lust is strong. Now, I want you to see this. Lust is strong. In verse 14 of James, chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, look at that phrase, drawn away. It's not the temptation that draws us away. The temptation is there. But what draws us away from God? And what draws us to that sin? It's our lust. Now, the word, that phrase, drawn away, means to drag forth. Now, let me just tell you how powerful our lust is. It will grab a hold of us and drag us to the temptation. It's not the devil that drags you to temptation. People say, man, the devil made me do it. Not necessarily. Your flesh, my flesh, the Bible says is corrupt. And we are drawn away after sin. It just grabs us and pulls us. The temptation doesn't grab us and pull us. You know that. If you've tried to live for God, you know that there's been times where you've been able to go right through temptation. You were faced with temptation. It was nothing. You just kept on going because you were walking with God. Everything was fine. And other times that same temptation got you. It wasn't the temptation that grabbed you. It's the lust that grabs you. Your selfish lust literally drags you there. It's not the temptation. Better not play with lust, because it's powerful. And we need to realize how corrupt our heart is. We know the verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is what? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My heart, your heart, our hearts are desperately wicked. Our heart likes evil things. And if you're sitting out there saying, mine doesn't. Well, I'm just going to say, sorry, I'm going to believe what God says because God's right. And if you sit there and say, I don't like evil things, well, you've just been deceived, and it just proves the Bible's right anyway. No, we are desperately wicked. And we need all the help we can get, and we can only get it from God. We're not going to get it from the world. Lust is strong, it's powerful. Not only that, but lust is sensual. We've already seen that lust can refer to more than just sexual sins. However, many times it's used in the Scripture, it's dealing exactly with sexual sins and sensuality. And turn to back a few pages there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this might not be the most popular topic in the world to preach on, but I think it's a needed topic because we've got to understand the reason you and I sin is not because sin's there. And the reason you and I sin is not because there's a temptation there. The reason we sin is because we actually wanted to do it. And it's our fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. If you can get that down, if you get nothing else out of the message, if you get that down, you can be on your way to having some victory. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse number 3. So, lust is sensual. Look at here, we're going to talk about fornication. This is sex outside of marriage. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So God wants us to be set apart to Him, set apart to righteousness, set apart to holiness. He said that you should abstain from what? Fornication. You know what that word fornication is? It's porneia. Sound familiar? The word porneia is the word that we get pornography from. It means harlotry. And so, When God says we're supposed to abstain from that, abstain from participating in that sin, abstain from viewing those things. Looking at stuff is fornication. It's the same. Far from God. But our lust wants that. God doesn't want it. Adultery. You don't have to turn it, but Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already. Where? In his heart. In his heart. People say, it's okay to look at people. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're a pervert if you think it's okay. You are so given over to your lust, I feel sorry. Realize where it comes from. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, it says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. When she start batting those eyes, man. Hey. Don't lust after her beauty. Beauty is not sin. It's not. It's not a sin for a woman to be beautiful. Now, I'm sorry, unfortunately, in our day and age, women are trying to dress not to be pretty, but to be sexy. I think there's a problem with that. It's okay for a lady to be pretty, but it's not okay for a woman to run around trying to be sexy. Even looking is lust. And we've already seen that lust is a sin. So looking is a sin. Looking with the desire and the intent, saying, I want that. It's sin. The world may think that it's all okay. No, it's not. And you get messed up in your mind when you start thinking like the world. And you let lust and your passions rule your thoughts and your minds. Because your thoughts will become actions one day. And you're going to be unclean. You're going to mess up your life. Oh, here's another one. Romans chapter 1, verse 27. So we've seen these sins are lust, they're sensual, fornication, adultery. Here's another one, homosexuality. What's wrong with that, the world says? It's lust. It's sin. And it's sin because God said it's sin. I don't care what our politicians want to say today. They must be given over to lust and far from God too. Homosexuality is sin because it's lust. In Romans 1:27, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Now that is sick. Men burning in their lust. They have a desire for another man. Listen, I have no desire to go lip lock some man. I mean, that is just, I don't even want to hold your hand. No, get away from me. There's something wrong with it. It is twisted. It's perverted. It's against God. It's lust. And because it's lust, it's sin. And I don't care what the public schools say. I don't care what the government says. God said it is wrong. Fornication, living with someone you're not married to, adultery, pornography, it's all sin. Checking someone out, it's all sin. It's lust. Now, let's move to the next point so we can finish. That was my long point. We've seen the characteristics of lust. Secondly, I want you to see the consequences of lust. What does it do to you? What will this enemy inside of you, that's in you, it's in me, it's horrible, it's wicked, it wants to destroy us, what does it do to us once it grabs a hold of us? I've got a few things I want to tell you about. In 1 Peter, first of all, it wages war on your soul. I'll give you the point and I'll give you a verse and we got to keep moving. It wages war on your soul. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. This is what he says. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I don't know about you. I kind of like to have peace in my heart. I like to be settled. But I'll tell you when I'm not settled, when some desire is going on in my heart that it shouldn't be there. You know, we are hurting ourselves. Fleshly lusts war against the soul. There's a battle within. And why do you want to encourage that battle? It hurts you. It robs your peace. It robs your joy. It just, it wars against your soul. Secondly, it causes pain. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. For that righteous man, it's talking about Lot. Now, Lot, nephew to Abraham. Lot was with Abraham. Boy, he was hanging out with him. And then he looked at the land of Sodom and said, hey, I think I want to go over there. Hey, I think I'm going to go over there. And he moved there. And the Bible says, for that righteous man, that means he was saved. He wasn't living like he was saved, but he was saved. That righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That word vex means to torture. You know what he was doing? He was torturing himself. If you, by the things you see and the things you hear, you continually see the wrong things, you continually hear the wrong things, and you know they're wrong, you continue to expose yourself to those wrong things, those sights and those sounds that are against what God wants, whether it's pornography, you know, immodest dress, music, whatever it is, you are exposing yourself to those things. You're literally torturing yourself. Because you're letting yourself see and hear those things that appeal to your lusts. Maybe the internet. I don't know what it is. But lust will torture you. Now, especially if you're a Christian. I'll tell you why. Because you know what's off limits. And when you want them anyway, you're going to have a hard time. You're just going to be in turmoil all the time. But keep moving here. It wages a war in your soul. It causes pain. It disturbs your mind. Turn with me to Psalm 51. I got a couple points out of Psalm 51. Now, if you know anything about Psalm 51, this is a psalm that David wrote when he was repenting after a certain sin. And you know what it is if you're know, familiar with the psalm. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So in context, this is talking about lust and the effects that lust had on his life. You think, this has been okay to me. Look at your life. Be honest. If you've just given yourself over to lust, just given yourself over to do whatever you want, look at your life and see. Has it really been such a blessing to you? Or has it robbed a lot from you? Look what it says. The point is this. The third point, the third consequence is it disturbs your mind. In verse number 3, David said, he's praying, trying to confess and get right with God. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is what? Ever before me." So I can't get it off my mind. I can't get it off my mind. It's ever before me. It's ever before me. Listen, you give yourself over to lust. You give yourself over to these sins. It's right there. You can't get it off your mind. You can't get it off your mind. You can't get it off your mind. It messes it up. It messes your mind. The next thing I want you to see, it makes you feel dirty inside. And look at verse 2. He's saying, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You see the words wash and cleanse. Now, the only time you need to wash and be cleansed is when you're what? Dirty. He felt dirty. You ever feel dirty inside? You have a wrong thought. You have a wrong attitude. You engage in something you shouldn't have engaged in. You feel dirty? Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. I get an email from a young man who we had worked with and helped, and he was in a church that I previously pastored, and you could just see he was broken up, just broken over his sin. He said, "Pastor, I did something I shouldn't have done. I slept with a girl, and I know I shouldn't have done it." He said, "I feel so dirty. I feel so far from God." He says, "I feel so horrible." Yeah. He felt dirty. Why? Because he was. And that's what it does to us. And down in verse number 7, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Listen, he really felt dirty. If he didn't have to ask a couple of times if he wasn't really feeling it. And look at also there in verse number 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I need a clean heart. I'm tired of this dirty heart. I need help. Oh, God, please help me. And it's not until we get that attitude when we come to God and say, "Oh, God, I cannot have victory. I need help. Will you please help me? Clean me up. Change me." If you come to God that way, He'll help you out. It disturbs your mind, it makes you feel dirty, and it also steals your joy. In verse number 8, Psalm 51, verse number 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." He wasn't hearing much before then. And then also, we see in verse number 12, "Restore unto me the" what? "Joy of thy salvation." Why would something need to be restored? Because it was gone. He had lost his joy. He wasn't happy. You're not happy. You are not happy. Oh, you might be pleased for a few moments in your lust and in your sin, but you're not happy. There's no long-lasting joy that's in your life. There's an emptiness. There's a shallowness. There's doubts. There's fears. No. Lust is an enemy. It's a horrible thing. It's got terrible consequences. Let me tell you something else. You don't have to turn there. Mark chapter number 4. Talks about the parable of the sower. He goes out and sows the seed, and the seed is the word of God, the Bible teaches, and some lands on the wayside, and some lands in the thorny ground, and some lands in the good ground, and among the stones. And so there's different places that the seed was sown. And Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says this, and I'll give you the point, is that it chokes God's word. Lust will choke God's word. And I'll explain that when I get done reading here. "And these are they," talking about the seed, "which are sown among thorns," such as hear the word. Okay, you come, you hear the word. and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This is a war. Listen, the devil is real. Lust is real. Our flesh is corrupt. And our lust will just take and choke the word of God. You can come and listen, but if you don't let the God's word change you and you don't make a decision to be different, God's word will be choked by your lusts. It just chokes it, makes it ineffective. You know, some of you, maybe you read your Bible every day, and that's great. And we ought to. But I believe you can read the Bible daily. But if we don't deal with our lust, that lust will choke out the influence that God's word would have in your life. So you can say, oh, I have my devotions, and you go off into sin. Because you didn't do anything with it. You didn't get mad at your sin. You didn't deal with your lust. You didn't deal with things. You just did your little routine. Had my duty. Did my duty. Had my devotions. No. We go to the Bible and say, God, I need help. Looking for something. Longing for God's word and God's help. And then finally, it ends in death. In James chapter number 1, verse number 15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, once it is started there, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the end result. It brings forth death. Paul Harvey told a story about how an Eskimo kills a wolf. And the Eskimo would get a knife, very sharp blade. He would coat it with blood. He'd freeze it. He'd put another layer of blood on. He'd freeze it. He'd put several layers of blood on so that that blade is completely covered with frozen blood. And he'd stick the handle in the ground with the blade up. The wolf, with his keen sense of smell, will track down the scent of the blood and find the knife and come and begin to lick the frozen blood. Now, because it's frozen, it's going to be cool and it's going to numb the tongue a little bit. And he's enjoying the fresh blood. And he's licking and licking and licking and licking until he gets through the frozen layers. And he hits the blade of the knife, but he doesn't feel it. And he's still tasting blood, but now the blood he's tasting is his own. So he keeps licking more vigorously and licking, and soon he'll bleed to death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That appetite just wanted more and more. And that wolf couldn't control himself and didn't even know he was killing himself. Because his passions were so strong. And once you let lust take control, you won't even know it's destroyed you until it's too late. I think it's time that we start fearing lust and not glamorizing it. And understanding that it's not the temptation that causes me to sin. It's my lust that takes me to that temptation. It's my lust that grabs and drags me to the temptation. And it's your lust that drags you to sin too. We're going to stop blaming everybody else. And look where the blame needs to come. Now, by this time you're asking, is there any hope? Oh, yes, there is. And that's where we see, last of all, the conquest over lust. We can have victory. God tells us we can have victory. Let me give you quickly a few things. First of all, repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have never let Jesus come into your life, you're missing something. Not only are you missing forgiveness, but you're missing the power of God in your life to change you and to work through you and to help you and alter you. He really is a good God. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. We need to see my sin is wicked. I need to turn from that and turn to God. I need you, Lord Jesus. And believe that he died for you and rose again and he can save you and change your life. And in fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God will completely change you if you let him. You just got to come to Him. That's salvation. If you are saved, confess and forsake your sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." You're not going to prosper. But he that whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We've got to acknowledge that the reason we keep falling into sin is not because of temptation, it's because of our lust that wants it. It's our sinful, depraved, selfish lust and our lying heart. The third thing that we need to see as far as having victory is claim God's promises. I love 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Now listen to what these great and precious promises will do. He says, "That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." See, lust makes us walk after the flesh, after the old corrupted nature. But as we take and claim the promises of God, we can walk after the divine nature, after God's power and with His help. And then it says, "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." How do we escape? God's Word. Oh, man, God give me a promise. I can have victory here. Oh, and we believe it, and we hang on to it, and we claim it. That's what we got to do. God's Word will allow you to partake of His power. That gives you some victory. And the next thing is pray for grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You will be in time of need. That time of temptation is going to be there. And my lust and your lust and all of our lust is going to want to seize on that temptation. But what do? We pray for grace. Grace gives you ability to do things you can't do. Say, "Lord, I can't have victory over this. I need some grace. I need some help right now. It's time of need." And God says, "All right, good. I'm here to help you." But if you're not saved, you don't walk with God, you don't know God, you're not claiming His promises, you're not going to have that help. You're going to just continue to deal with the consequences of lust. Then we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill what? The lusts of the flesh. Let the Holy Spirit control you instead of your flesh. And then we need to change our desires. See, as we seek God's help from His Word, we're praying and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. He is going to help us and He'll help change our desires. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Then you look for and you take God's escape. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." But now listen. "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." And He's going to make an escape route. Take it. Take it. But our lust doesn't want to go on God's road and take the escape route. Our lust wants to stay on sin's highway instead of taking the off-ramp that God gives us. 2 Peter 2:9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." I take some encouragement in that. If I'm trying to be godly, I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but if we're trying to walk with God, we're seeking His help, He knows how to deliver those kind of people from temptations. But the people who are given over to lust and they have no concern and no care for God's Word or what God says to do, they will be controlled and dominated by their lusts. And remember, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And the last thing we can do to have victory is to abstain. Yeah. People laugh at abstinence. Well, go laugh at the Bible. You're not going to laugh at God when you meet Him one day. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust." Abstain. 1 Thessalians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Abstain, that means to hold yourself back from it. Restrain yourself. Now listen, if God tells us to abstain, it must be possible. And I go right back to the thing. The reason why we sin is because we want to. The reason why you cuss someone else is because you want to. You get some pleasure out of it. The reason why you get drunk is because you want to. You get some pleasure out of it. The reason why you lust after some, you know, scantily clad person walking down the street is because you want to. It is not because you have to. It's because you want to. It's our lust. It's not that temptation. Jesus was tempted. But he didn't have any lust. He never sinned. God's not going to tell us to do something we can't do. It's possible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.